He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And then, like, not trading D'Lo at the deadline. And I know, like, D'Lo is this lightning rod kind of subject that, like, is always going to get people to argue with each other. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm just talking about straight asset management here. Not trading D'Angelo Russell before he has this player option, it makes no sense. And you're like, well, you were never going to get equal value for him because he has that player option. Well, then fine. Don't sign him to the player option, or take less than dollar to dollar value on him, because you now run the risk of not getting anything whatsoever for him. And you eventually, in at least one playoff game, literally got nothing whatsoever from D'Angelo Russell. So there are just all this kind of comedy of errors, this just queue of dumb decision after dumb decision after dumb decision at various levels of this organization. And what it winds up costing you is a legitimate opportunity with LeBron James and Anthony Davis having the season that they did. And that's where you're saying, that's the part of this where I'm the most nervous. Years down the line, I'm probably going to look back on this year and been like, man, it's kind of like the Ed Helms line in The Office, right? You wish that you could understand and enjoy the good old days while you're in them, right?
Yeah.
So that when you look back and you see that those are the good old days, you know, you don't feel so bad about, you know, not enjoying them as much. That is nowhere near the actual line on it, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
There's a chance here that's how we feel. That's how we'll feel about LeBron James and Anthony Davis the season this year, where both of those guys, like, if the Lakers were at all competent, AD is in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation, right? And maybe even the MVP conversation. And he's not. Like, he's not going to get that recognition for the season that he had, because the Lakers kept on trying to resuscitate Cam Reddish's career. What? And then he didn't even play in the playoffs with an ankle injury. Like, it's all of it. It's such a bummer. Last thing before we move on to the super comments, because
have you gotten to D'Angelo Russell's exit interview quote on the show already?
I haven't. I honestly try to avoid D'Angelo Russell, because anytime I mention him, my mentions are just a disaster for like.
Well, okay, then I'm gonna do something that the D'Lo fans are gonna like. I'm just gonna quote D'Angelo Russell and say, "Hell of a year by D'Angelo."
I can't believe that he said that. Like, he now understands he has leverage going into the season and looks forward to using it. What leverage, D'Lo?
Yeah, I get that he can say. I understand the theoretical concept of his leverage, that he's like, well, you can't use me as a human trade exception if I opt out. But it's like, okay, who's offering you more than 18? Like, maybe you get a longer term deal. But
even
like,
who's 18.
Who's offering him more than the MLE?
Right.
Like, I don't think that team exists. Like, Detroit's going to have apparently like a competent front office person. So like,
maybe
D'Lo and Tobias Harris, like, their agents are like crying in their living rooms. Like, they're like, oh man, Troy Weaver's gone. What are we going to do? Clay Thompson.
Right. I don't know where that, like, in order to have leverage, you need to have a second option.
Yeah.
That's where leverage is drawn from. I don't know who D'Lo's
like,
second
are the magic,
option
like, is. Oh, you know, D'Angelo Russell's the point guard we've been missing. Maybe. I kind of doubt it, though. He doesn't seem to fit their archetype of player at all.
No. And I'm like, I actually think he makes some sense for them, but he's not who they're going to target. Like, that's not how their organization
he's
sees
not
things.
A long guy that can't shoot. That's their target.
Yeah.
Opposite of that. He's a short guy who can shoot. He's like the exact opposite of the type of player they like.
I tend to think that he'll be advised to just opt into his contract, because the type of contract that he'll get next year will probably be pretty similar to the contract that he would sign this year anyway. Exactly. And you may as well just get the extra few million bucks this year and then sign that contract next year.
I guess the only argument, not without getting too far into the weeds, is like maybe, you know, whatever he's making in a state that doesn't have income taxes is as good as, you know, the Lakers 18 million or whatever. And then he gets to choose his destination, multi-year deal, security of that, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see the path forward there for D'Lo for it to make much sense for him.
San Antonio Spurs. They said Wemby needs a point guard. You know, D'Lo really seems like a Spurs player. I think a real like Pop guy.
Exact type of player that Pop would just,
you know, Detroit Pistons. Over. Hey, they need a mentor for Cade Cunningham. You know, they need someone to teach Jaden Ivey the ropes. D'Angelo Russell, let's go. Come on down.
Yeah, I don't see it. I'm biased.
Ultimate Daryl Morey player. You know, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, they need that third star. I think D'Lo, that's your guy.
I guess the Miami Heat were just eliminated. They could use a few extra buckets. A D'Lo and you know,
Tyler Hero backcourt, that's going to be,
well, like D'Lo playing next to a white guy
of all time.
Huh?
Tyler Hero and D'Lo, like, greatest Instagram backcourt of all time, you know? Like,
I could already see the post, like, who's stopping this team?
Yeah.
Who's stopping this backcourt? It's like Instagram. All right. Let's dive into the super comments here. I'm just going to play one here at the top. That's the compromise I'm going to make with people. Those of you who don't, for some reason, don't like people saying F Boston, the compromise is that I won't play it several times over the course of the show. I'll play it once before the super comments because I appreciate you guys sending us the super comments. Fuck Boston! Justin Tindall writes, it pisses me off that the shit's the bed after 10 games comment was a shot at Austin, and he still has a job, but Prince and Reddish had 75 combined starts. Yeah,
there's a lot of shit in the bed, I'm going to say. And, you know,
the shit might be the bed. Like, they might have had to replace the bed.
Justin, if it makes you feel better, I don't think he's going to have a job much longer. So, you know, it's just like, it's sort of a waiting game at this point.
That's the thing, man.
Can you imagine if they bring him back?
That's the thing. Like, it's been so weird to have conversations with, like, I did a lot of talking on the phone today. Like a lot of texting, a lot of messaging, a lot of emails, a lot of calls. And everybody that I spoke to was like, yeah, we all know where this is heading. We're not really sure why they're dragging this out.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
We have no idea like what the wait here is for. And yet here we are still waiting. Justin Tindall writes again, still refuses to say his coaching wasn't good enough. Jeannie is acting like she's down to her last $5 and paying Ham $10 million is a big deal. I actually had the math broken down.
Tindall, given your generosity on the super comments, do you want to buy the Lakers? Like, let's talk offline. Like, send Anthony and I an email. We'll see if we can get like a finance packaging together. I'm serious. You know,
yeah.
I can't imagine that Jeannie would listen to or like our show very much, but she's not leaving us this many super comments. I'm just saying, you're showing the type of generosity I want to see from a Lakers owner.
Yeah. Yeah. The money thing here is so tough. Like,
Justin Tindall would absolutely pay our salaries after firing us. I believe it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And just hire better podcasts.
Especially, like, especially if Justin could fire us, I'm sure like he was like, yes. Yeah. Great. But the money thing here is so difficult because like, it's become this joke on Twitter and it's a pretty consistent reprise of my own, but it's so frustrating to know that there are just things that,
it's grounded in fact.
Yeah, right. Like it's so frustrating to like know that there are things that the Lakers are just not capable of.
It's like
because of this limitation.
The reason Veep is such a funny show is because it is so also real and sad, the things that it is parodying. And the reason those jokes about them being cheap are funny is because they are cheap and we have to laugh through that.
And Gary Beatty is an air traffic controller. Speaking of Genie, Lane R says, I bet Genie is waiting till LeBron gives a firm commitment to fire Ham. Otherwise, she'll keep him and save money. You know, her penny pinching ways.
I kind of doubt this is true, but I love this theory. It's like, well, we draft Bronny. Like, can you just tell us that you're going to sign the extension? We'll fire him. We will.
Did you see the immediate response from Rich Paul? Like, we don't care.
Again, we're already long, but so I won't go too long on this. But like my theory on that is that's very basic agenting of we're going to make it clear to teams that you cannot hold Bronny hostage and automatically get LeBron. So, Daryl, if you draft him, that does not guarantee that you are getting LeBron on the mid-level exception. You can try it, but it's not going to work. And, you know, it's very much standard, your agent sort of guiding guys through the draft. It's the same as Austin telling the Detroit Pistons he doesn't want to go there. It's the same as, you know, Kobe's agent trying to secure his way to the Lakers, whatever. That's very basic agenting to me. It's also probably true. You know, like if the Detroit Pistons draft Bronny, I can't imagine LeBron's like, sign me up, let's go. You know, like because he has said consistently he wants to play his last year with Bronny. I don't think next year is going to be his last year in the NBA. I don't think this was his last year in the NBA. And so I believe them, but I also think it's very basic agenting.
I also, like, as a father, if my kid was going into the NBA and clearly needed to develop more in order to stay in the NBA, probably wouldn't have him go to Lakers. Like, yeah, you could have him work with Phil Handy, but Phil Handy isn't strictly a developmental coach anymore. He's further up on the bench, and he has other things that he's working on. They didn't develop Max Christie this year. They didn't develop Colin Castleton. They didn't develop Jalen Hood-Schifino. If I'm LeBron and I saw all of that, on top of the added pressure that you know Bronny is going to walk into by being a Laker, if I were LeBron and the only thing that I had in mind here were the best interests of my son, I wouldn't want him to be a Laker.
Want, in a year with expectations, do you want fans on the road chanting Nepo Baby at him when he checks into the game?
Right. Yeah, I mean,
like it is a heartwarming story in a lot of ways, them playing together or whatever, but not in the same way as it's like, okay, this is LeBron's last year. They're just sharing the court. It's like a passing of the torch sort of moment. They're, you know, passing two ships passing in the night, whatever. If you bring Bronny into a team with expectations, like, I don't know that that's the best thing for his development or him right now.
Yeah, I mean, how often is he going to, like, do you want your son?
You know, talk shows all year next year? It's like, oh, well, the Lakers, they could have used this pick on, you know, like Colin Castleton Jr. or whatever. And, you know, they went with this guy and
Max Christie's brother.
Max Christie's brother. They could have used it on, you know, whoever the next Jaime Jaquez is or whatever. And it's like they drafted Bronny. And, you know, do you want all that I don't think that that's happening.
Oh, man. Imagine if, like, you know, Bronny goes in the second round to the Lakers and the pick after the Lakers is that random second round gem. Oh, that would never hear the end of it. Huh?
Nikola Jokic, too.
Yeah, right.
Nikola Jokic, Ginobili. You know, it's
like, yeah. The next question here from Brandon Omeng, I'd keep Bron, AD, Vando, AR, and Max. D'Lo probably opts out. Bring back or trade Gabe or Rui. Who would you like to bring back outside of LeBron and AD?
I would actually like to bring Gabe back. If you can't get something good for him without attaching an asset, which I can't imagine you can, there's no way he's worse this year than he was, coming off of an injury.
I mean, the one nice thing about potentially keeping, Gabe is he would allow you to, like, you don't have to go out and get another point guard, right? Like, if D'Lo opts in and you trade D'Lo, it doesn't have to be for another guard. I know I catch a lot of crap for saying that I would have done the D'Angelo Russell and a first for Dorian Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal trade. you know, and I, you know what, again, I'm not even interested in talking about it anymore, because I see the game fundamentally different, not better or worse, but different than the people who like D'Angelo Russell on their basketball team. We are just never going to agree about basketball, right? And
quite the change for you over the years.
I know. I just, you know, it's like, like I was remember the whole like Lakers beat back then hated me because I defended D'Angelo Russell so ardently. Yeah. But anyway, that's what I would have done is I would have traded him in a first for Royce O'Neal and Dorian Finney-Smith. And like, yeah, maybe you do take a bit of a step back. And I'm not saying that D'Angelo Russell's input or impact was not valuable over the course of the regular season. It's always valuable over the course of the regular season. The problem is the postseason comes after the regular season. And we know how that tends to go for him. And so anyway, like with D'Lo, I still tend to think that he opts in, and maybe that's my own bias here. And you know, I think you trade Rui and D'Lo and Dalen Hood-Schifino and all of those picks or whatever, and see what that kind of a package can get you on the open market, and you kind of move forward that way. But in terms of like players that I definitely want to keep, it's LeBron, it's AD, and it's AR. Everybody else can go. I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, the obviously no one else sort of reaches that level of bucket. I mean, again, it always depends on the trade or like what you're losing them for. Like, you know, if Torian Prince gets a big deal from someone else and you don't match that, it's, you know, fine. You know, but if you trade Vando for like, if you make a bad Vando trade, or you're like, oh, we just need to attach a first to get off of Vando and Gabe's money, and we're not really getting like much of an upgrade, like I don't want to do something like that. Like in those cases, you know, I say you keep those guys, you see if they can have a better year, and like I'd be curious to see what they can bring under a different coach in sort of a different system and with a healthier season. And so like those two guys, like Gabe Vincent, I was going to read the stat on the, I just want to get it in on the show because it's so funny. Like, do you want to know what his defensive box plus minus was in the playoffs?
Oh yeah. Sure.
It was a positive 1.3. But he still had a negative 8.3 box plus minus because he was a negative 9.6 on offense. So again, that doesn't tell the whole story, but it does sort of, you know, illustrate that, you know, hey, if he's just hitting a couple shots, he could be, which he has historically in his career, he's hit some shots, not all the shots like he did on the Heat's run to the finals, but he hit some, and he could maybe be a little bit more useful. Like, he's still a good defender, even coming off of that injury and having not played. And so, like, he's the type of guy I'd be interested in keeping around. He's not making that much money.
Rye guy, heard today if Vogel is back, Ham is likewise back too. LA may use Phoenix as an out to keep Ham. They, meaning Phoenix, had a disaster and kept their coach. Why not us?
God, that is the funniest possible reason.
That it would be funny. Well,
they didn't fire. They're like, why? Look, they had a bad season. They didn't fire their coach. We don't have to fire our coach. It's like, wait, you don't. Why are you making your decisions based on what the Suns do? But I love this theory. I you know, I believe Rye guy. Count on Rye.
Well, it's like we said, right? In our, I don't know if you want to out our your method or whatever to predicting what the Lakers are going to do, right? Or your rule, but it's like, well, I'll let you tell it if you want to say it, if you want to tell it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just whatever. What is, you just think to yourself, what is the funniest or dumbest possible thing they could do? And oftentimes it's like not that far off from what actually ends up happening.
Yeah. And that's this example, that that theory or that prediction is pretty damn funny. In like a laugh as a train runs me over way. Legend writes or asks, thoughts on taking a gamble on Time Lord for cheap? I don't trust the Lakers. What's that?
I think the Rockets are just keeping him, right? Like, they traded for him already as a buy low guy. Like, I don't think that
Time Lord.
Yeah. Wait. Robert Williams.
I thought he was still in Portland. I thought they traded for Steven Adams.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I'm sorry.
They
I'm
traded for Steven
up.
Adams. I
they thought about, I think they were interested. In there were rumors connecting them.
Yeah, they might have. I don't know for sure, but I know that they traded.
I am checking this right now because I'm realizing I don't know who he play for. I have no idea.
But Time Lord, I don't know. I don't trust, like, even no matter where he is right now and the likelihood that he is available. I don't think you can ever really get that guy for cheap until he's reached like the Bynum zone. And then B, I don't apologize.
They were looking into Time Lord and then they ended up doing the Steven Adams thing. So I just remember that.
But the problem with acquiring anybody like Time Lord, right? Who you're just like, if he can just stay healthy, is I don't really trust the Lakers training staff to like keep somebody like that.
Imagine, you know, okay, yeah, this season was bad, but like, you know, if Robert Williams had just stayed healthy, I think, you know, they would have been able to guard Jokic and it would have been fine.
He's like the exact player too. He's like, he's a version of Jackson Hayes. He's like a better Jackson Hayes. He's like
a much better Jackson Hayes. Come on. He's a much better NBA player than Jackson
Hayes. He's like the middle evolution. He's not like,
he's the Charizard. No,
yeah,
he's the Charizard of Jackson Hayes.
He's like, what's the bottom?
He's a lot better than Jackson Hayes.
It's like Charmander, Charmeleon,
Charmeleon.
Yeah, so he's Charmeleon, and like Dwight Howard is Charizard, right? Yeah. That's
Wash Dwight Howard is like the Charizard of Jackson Hayes.
No, that player type.
The 2021, like the almost washed Dwight Howard.
No, the point of like the Charizard thing is that's like the best version of that Pokemon.
That's disrespectful to Prime Dwight. He's the super evolution in that case. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Is there another evolution beyond Charizard?
I think
Charizard?
You can do that now. Yeah, I think you can like super evolve your Pokemon.
Okay. All right. So then that's Dwight. That's Prime Dwight. Yeah. Which is like, okay. All right. That's fair. We got some Pokemon talking here too.
Yeah,
Nathan Mark is wondering, is the storm you're experiencing God finally coming for your bad takes? Look, bring it. You know, you haven't got me yet.
Oh, not that I'm rooting for your death, but it would have been so funny if your internet just cut out right then. Like you just see a flash and then it's just me on screen. Like, all right.
Go clip. Lane R is asking, my spec is LeBron. What's that?
Speculation.
Oh, speculation. Okay. Is LeBron waiting to see if Denver wins again? And if so, he'll go to a team in the East. Wouldn't you? He won a ring there without begging KD. I love that theory that he's looking at the West next year and he's like, dude, come on.
He's like, I miss being able to just sleepwalk to the finals. That was nice. Like, I could like,
at least through the first round,
the whole series against the Raptors. It was great.
Yeah, like at least at least through the first round, maybe even through most of the second rounds that he played in, were pretty kind of sleepery. And then finally in the conference finals, he would usually get tested a little bit, but
a little bit. I mean, with some of those Cavs runs, not really.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, the East, dude,
he runs for sure. There was some legit competition at that point. And then like the Cavs runs, it just coincided with there was just no one in the East.
I asked it the other day and I think I would take the under here over under like, one
it was
and
like
a half
rookie Jason
teams.
Tatum in the conference finals one year, you know?
Yeah. But like over under Harrison as the teams are currently built, even if you want to, make him healthy, you can do that too. Over under 1.5 good teams in the East right now.
Like you're saying contenders?
Yeah, like good teams, yeah, like actual title Boston. Contenders in the East.
Yeah, it's Boston. Like none of those other teams even have any hope of beating
so
whoever
you
comes out.
Take the under on 1.5.
Yeah.
I agree. But, and that, you know, if LeBron is looking at that, like saying.
I feel dirty. Can you play the sound effect one more time? I'm sorry.
Fuck Washington! All right. We have one more. Super comment here, Rye Guy, listing potential players there: Killian Hayes, Clay, KD, LeBron, and AD. I guess in this case because you wouldn't have money to sign Clay if you trade for KD, right? And then it's just a bunch of minimum players. What do you think about the whole KD thing?
I'm sorry. I appreciate the super comment. I appreciate the patronage. I don't understand why Killian Hayes is first. That's the part that's breaking my brain. Like, I wanted to hate this suggestion just because that was the first name in it. I'm like, wait, why? I don't. And then it's like, okay, Clay, I don't know, a little watch, but like then KD, all right, you're putting together.
It's
like,
the reverse horse. It's the reverse horse meme, right? Where you start with the 6-year-old drawing of a horse and
exactly. And then it's like turns into the perfect, you know, it's like, this is great.
Yeah, Black Stallion.
I just don't see a path to the KD thing. I don't know. I mean, maybe they could make it happen, but how do you even match his salary?
Well, he needs to demand another trade, which I don't think he can do again.
If there's any player who would do it.
It's true. But here's how you have to phrase it. If you're KD, you go to the Suns and you say, hey, you Frank guys need assets.
Great things about LA.
Yeah, no. Just like Matt Ishbia, whatever your name is, he's just skipping over James Jones because clearly it's Ishbia running things now. So you go to Ishbia and you go, hey man, you clearly need assets. This isn't going anywhere. You aren't going to be able to move Beal. You don't want to piss off your fans by moving Booker. I don't want to be here anymore. Last season sucked. I don't want to run pick and rolls or be expected to run pick and rolls with Devin Booker. I'm asking or I'm offering you the opportunity. Go ahead, trade me, get some assets back, and we can all pretend this never happened. And like do so as like, you know, in a charitable venture that he can present that to the Suns as. Not like his previous ones where it's like, get me the F out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. And this one's like, look, it would help both of us.
Look, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
You guys get some Laker picks. I get to go to LA. You know, it all works out.
Yeah, you can bet on the organization, you know, falling apart after LeBron and I leave. Like, you know, take care of this. You know, and by the way, I think if the Lakers are able to stack enough contracts and give up the 3 picks, that's about as good a package as you're going to get for Kevin Durant at this stage of his career. After yet another even pseudo trade request.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd say
again, like I'm not sure that Killian Hayes is the answer at point guard I want there. You know, that's all I'm saying. I'm sort of like, you could get me behind the KD idea. You know, Clay.
It's gonna be Jalen Hurts. He's gonna be your starting point guard next
year.
There you
go. Exactly. Yeah. Shout out Raj.
Raj is just like, yes, finally. All right. That is going to do it here for this nice extra long episode here, as I'm not going to lie. I made this extra long just in case the news dropped while we were on the air but apparently I didn't wait long enough. I needed to wait until tomorrow and we'll see what that looks like. If and when that news drops, then we're still waiting for it though. Again, as we've been saying all along, that is the likeliest outcome of all of this. Not exactly breaking any crazy news there. This is just how this works. And if and when that news does drop,
we're going to fire him right after we go off the air.
Oh my God. It would be so perfect.
I already know.
Yeah. If that does happen, I at least will hop right back on here and discuss it and talk about what all it means and all that good stuff. If it happens tomorrow, the plan is to talk with Aaron anyway. So he and I will talk.
Aaron texted Aaron, the Lakers, guys,
if you guys
please just wait until Friday, please. I know you love Friday news dumps.
Yeah.
Just do me a favor.
Do you think, I mean, like, man, Rob has to be so upset that they couldn't have like their season, even if they didn't win another game, like why couldn't the season go one more day so that we could have made this a Friday news dump?
But yeah.
Here we are. If that news does drop though tomorrow, the plan is anyway to talk to Aaron and he and I will talk about it. So either he and I are going to get together and talk about the actual news dropping or continue to wonder why the news hasn't dropped yet. And in emphasis,
I'm sure those will be equally fun pods for Aaron. I think he's going to enjoy both of those conversation things.
I would say, yeah, I think he would. There's no version of those two conversations that he prefers over the other. That is for sure. So until 100%. Then, until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Harrison Fagan. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Please hit that subscribe button, that like button. Appreciate the super comments. Get your 5-star iTunes reviews in for mailbags as well. And have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you maybe in 5 minutes. Who knows?
Hell of a podcast by Harrison.